everybody, and welcome to the Fortress Comic News, episode 113. I am one of your hosts, Chris, alongside the original April Fool, Mike.
Yeah, that was awesome. Oh, man.
Because this comes out on April Fool's Day.
Yeah, happy April Fool's Day. Sad to see the podcast is coming to an end. Just kidding, April Fools. We don't have an interview this week. Like we said, we're working things out with that. It's just going to be Chris and I talking about things and stuff.
Boo.
Really cool comics came out this week. I think Pet Sematary came out this weekend. I didn't go see it. I know you didn't go see it.
Yeah. So, I didn't put it on the notes last week, but did you read any of that like Scott Snyder interview that happened?
No.
Or not Scott Snyder. Zack Snyder.
Oh, yeah. I was like, Yeah, I read there was a big Q&A session about the Justice League movie, because I guess it's like, I don't know, officially being retconned or rebooted or whatever. So I guess he had the rights to kind of like go and host like a session to talk about the four different endings and like the extended version of Justice League. And
yeah, and like his plan, like he had a 9 to 11 movie plan.
Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff I liked about the plan, I can't remember a whole lot about it right now. But I think if I remember correctly, like the interview went, if anybody remembers the nightmare sequence in Batman versus Superman, yeah. Like it sounded like the final act was going to be on Apocalypse Earth. Like it was going to happen on that world. And something about Lois Lane being in the Batcave and, Darkseid kills her, like vaporizes her or something like that. I'm like, that was pretty cool. They definitely, I'll give them credit for that. Like you'll never see like Pepper or any of those, love interests get vaporized. I don't think, especially what is like important as Lois Lane.
Probably not, but it was cool. Cause that was going to be like the impetus of basically going into an Injustice like Superman where he just like goes kind of dark.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there were so many cool ideas there that I would love to see, would have loved to have seen get made, but alas, here we are.
Yeah, and I don't know, his original Justice League movie is supposed to be 4 hours long. Would that really fix it? I don't know. And then they just said like, oh yeah, I shot everything. WB just has to release it because they have the rights. But
yeah, they're better off not doing that though, because then they just open a can of worms.
Yeah. So
especially if it's good.
All this did for me was to confirm that like they're never. I mean they're not never, but they're moving forward with completely new characters and trying to forget about those last few movies. I think they're treating like Wonder Woman as the start of it all. Wonder Woman and then Aquaman. Like those are just standalones.
It's not a bad idea, although Aquaman does like talk about the incident. Kinda like how a lot of Avengers-esque movies talk about the
New York incident, like how they refer to it on TV shows.
Yeah.
Without actually showing it because of budget reasons, but
but I mean, I said from the beginning that's what they should have done. They didn't have their Iron Man moment of like, we're coming out with a movie, and then all of a sudden it's like, and by the way, guys, it's leading to the Avengers. They like, kinda...
yeah, right.
Well, yeah. So everybody, real quick housekeeping. Remember patreon.com/ForceComicNews. Help us out there, and you could get my other podcast, the Bat Friends podcast, 3 days early if you pledge $1 or more. And if you go to our website, ForgeConicNews.com, there's the Amazon clicks on there. You click on those, click on, click, 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 click. And you can shop on this website. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Amazon. And you can get a bunch of stuff on there. It doesn't cost you a dime more. Just helps me help Mike be happier about his life.
Also, Amazon is like the DC Comics villain Amazo, just with an N at the end.
Yes. And it's one of the clicks... Everybody, one of the clicks on the website I have directed to Comixology. So if you are a digital comics person and you want to support the show and buy your comics, you can do that.
That's awesome. I buy Real Comics and Comixology, Chris.
I do. Well, you should be using that click through too then.
Oh, okay. You got We're learning lessons on the episode today, everybody.
That way you can get a small percentage of the money you spend back.
Yeah, that's awesome. You're such a great guy, Chris.
I try.
Wow. Watch any movies this weekend?
No.
Nothing I started really. One.
I wanted to watch The Dirt. I've been talking about that for a couple of weeks, but I haven't had the opportunity to really sit back and watch it.
I watched one called The Blind Swordsman. Well, I'm going to finish it tonight. I usually finish the movie on like Sunday night. And there's a Blind Swordsman is like a series in like, I think the early 60s, like of Japanese films. And it's, if you can guess, it's about a blind swordsman. And, I'm watching the 2003 version, the newest version. And, it's pretty good so far. I mean, it's like, you know, live action samurais. Everybody treats this guy as an old geezer, but he's like a shinobi. He's a samurai in disguise. So it's pretty cool.
I did torture myself with the ending of Arrested Development.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, man. That sucks.
I have this thing where I have to finish stuff. Like, what was that show? Weeds, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
That was like really good in the beginning and then like way off the rails.
Yeah, I heard about that one.
Yeah, and I finished that whole thing even though it got really bad. But this was, it was kind of okay near the end. It just sucks because those first couple seasons were so great.
The problem was that when they they sent that last season out, the one before the new one, and they had it all out of order. And then by the time they put it all in order on Netflix, I was like completely over trying to rewatch all of it. It was like too late. The damage is already done from like the weird timeline that set out.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm not feeling this. And then I kind of just lost all hope.
I'll tell everybody, unless you're like me, just don't bother. It really wasn't that good, and there's not enough there to justify you spending time. But if you have to finish it and you're like me, it's there.
Yeah. Also, you'll see this big man lurching behind me if you're on YouTube. That's Alex Ross's portrait of Shazam, the original Captain Marvel. Have you?
Captain Marvel.
Because in like 4 or 5 days... 4 days, I guess it comes out Thursday night. Shazam comes out. I'm a little excited about it. Just because of the reviews. The reviews are still around 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. So,
yeah, I'm going to try to go Thursday. If I do, look out for a review, because I will put one up if I go Thursday.
Nice. I think I'm going to go with some people, so probably Friday night, but no later than Friday for sure. Yeah, so, I mean, speaking of TV and stuff... that Pennyworth trailer dropped. What did you think?
It looked interesting.
Yeah.
I get why they tie it into DC stuff, but it looked like a show that really didn't need to be tied into DC continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Or DC just in general.
Yeah.
But it does look interesting. I mean, it'd be cool to kind of look back because it is taking the World War II-esque time period.
Mm-hmm.
And Alfred is a very young man at this point, so I don't know. It might be worth checking out. I don't have epics though, so that's hard to justify.
I don't either. But yeah, so more DC stuff, I guess. We did get the release date of Swamp Thing, season one, DC Universe, which is May 31st, which is a lot sooner than I thought.
Yeah, I believe it's like a week after the ending of Doom Patrol.
That's pretty crazy because I haven't seen anything about all we know is like James Wan had a hand in like doing some stuff for the show. And that's all we ever knew. And like, we haven't seen set pictures. We haven't seen we haven't seen anyone in costumes like all over the internet. I don't know.
Swamp Thing has a good opportunity to be the best DC universe show, DC show period. Like, there's a lot to mine there, and it really fits well with a television like schedule. So I'm really interested in this one.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know if it's good or bad that we haven't seen anything about it yet, but I don't know, a couple months, but pretty soon.
I'm sure once we start winding down on Doom Patrol, we'll see a lot more.
Yeah, I'm looking for a trailer, hopefully. Did not catch up on Doom Patrol, but I have caught up on Flash. It's kind of funny because, like, when I was catching up on Flash, when I was a few episodes behind, like, up until the most recent episode last week, Ralph Dibny was just, like, not in any of the episodes with no explanation. He just and then he just showed up in the latest episode. Like, there's no explanation at all. It's like he's just gone for three episodes, not involved in any of the team fights or anything like that. It's really strange.
That's like when Wally West shows back up with, like, a different haircut.
Right. Yeah, they're talking about how he went to, what, Asia or something, whatever. They don't even mention Ralph being gone. He just pops up in the next episode, in the next scene, like he was just sleeping in the Star Labs or something. So the latest episode is pretty cool. We find out that... So they basically what happens is they're messing with the timeline again. And there's consequences. So, like, when they... Flash. I know. So his daughter messes with the timeline this time. She goes... I mean, she's already there. She already messed with the timeline. But something cool happens. So Cicada agrees. They find out, like, Cicada's daughter or niece that he's been protecting is a meta. So he agrees to take the cure and, like, he wants to work with them. And doing that, it generates the niece from the future to come back as Cicada to stop them from giving him the cure. So, like, now we have an older version of the daughter back and she has, like, Cicada's powers. So Cicada's still around. It's just the future version of the niece now.
That is the most comic book thing I've ever heard on a TV show in my life.
Yeah, and a lot of people are saying, like, why didn't you do this before the mid-season finale? And I agree, because, like, we're almost getting to the season finale, and this would have been a great reveal for, like, mid-season. I don't know. It seemed kind of like a weird placement for all this to be happening. And then, you know, there's some... I'm really hoping that, I mean, there's some conversations like Reverse Flash, but I'm really hoping that they bring Reverse Flash back next season and, like, do it right.
They should. Reverse Flash needs to be a recurring character.
Yep. So that's pretty much it for TV shows.
I watched Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. And I heard that gets a little crazy this week, last week.
So, spoilers for Walking Dead. If you haven't watched it, fast forward, like, a couple of minutes, because I'm going to get into it. But I've been talking for weeks about the moment that this season's leading up to, and it was the heads on the pikes. Well, we got it last week, and yet this week's episode, which we record on Sunday, so it'll be tonight, is actually the season finale. So we get that moment before the season finale, which really struck me. And this episode was just great. It was, like, one of the better Walking Dead episodes in a long time. We get the main characters all meeting up with the Whisperers. We get the Whisperers making their threat to the communities, showing, like, the mass amount of zombies that they have under their control and the damage they can do. The fair's going on. Then we get the heads and the pikes. Now, the only complaint I have about that moment is that it would have impacted a lot better if we got, like, a Michonne or a Daryl or, you know, someone main that died in that moment. But there were some shocking deaths. So I'm terrible with names, so I apologize, but Carol and the King's son, he ends up dying in this. And that was probably the biggest one, because that kid was kind of taking the place of Carl in the storyline. You remember Carl falls in love with the Whisper daughter?
Yeah, you're telling me that kid falls in love.
Yeah. So they were doing that with him, and then he ends up on one of the pikes.
They probably don't want to deal with that awkward teen sex stuff on TV. It's the main reason they killed that kid off.
And then there's a few others that were really, like, I remember audibly being like, wow, I can't believe they did that. There's a few that I wish they didn't, like the bandits that we run into, like, three or four episodes ago that end up working with the kingdom to protect the streets. they all get killed in this moment. And I really wanted to see more of them because their whole, what they were doing with the communities was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But basically what we have here is that we now know that, like, Rick's gone, Carl's gone, nobody is safe. And you can't predict anymore because even though they tried to insert people into storylines to replace Carl or Rick, now some of them are dead again. So it's like, I really like where the show is heading now because I truly think that almost everybody is expendable. And I think the almost in that is basically Daryl is the only one they're going to keep around. And we just get really cool moments like with the king and how he's interacting and he's talking about the legacy of Rick Grimes and how this this whole festival is about what he was going after. They sign like a constitution between all the different communities. There's a lot of cool things that happen throughout this episode. I really, really enjoyed it. I think it's, like I said, one of the best episodes I've had in a long time. So I look forward to the season finale because I'll be interested to see what they do.
Did I tell you my funny Walking Dead story?
I don't think so.
About Ezekiel? Our good friend Patrick, first ever interview on the show before Travis Holyfield, told me a funny story last week that he was working at his job. I won't mention because I don't want people to creep on Patrick, but some guy he works with had mentioned something about The Walking Dead, and he was like, "Oh, my brother's on that show. I think he's a king or something." Pat was like, "What?" And he's like, I guess the guy didn't even watch the show that his brother was on. Like, he was like, "I don't know if he's, I don't, is he still alive or anything? But I guess he's like a king or something." And Pat was like, "Are you kidding me?" And it's funny because that actor also does the voice for Cyborg too. He told me.
Yeah.
So just a little funny story that he works with Ezekiel's brother, and his brother's like, "Yeah, I guess I don't know. He's like a king or something." He's like, he's been one of the most important characters like the last couple seasons. Yeah.
Oh, Patrick, I'm going to be leveraging this soon. Expect a text.
Yeah. He's already got a couple. Don't worry. Yeah. So let's go to movie news. Avengers tickets will be going on sale April 2nd. So
if you're listening to this when it drops tomorrow, be prepared.
April 2nd tomorrow. Yeah. So Angelina Jolie, who has she been in anything lately? Anything that you can think of?
Fuck, it's
like,
I know.
Angelina's career for me was like Tomb Raider, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and then her and Brad Pitt like ran away together. It was like, I don't know anything else that I can't think of anything else Angelina Jolie's done. But she's rumored to take the lead for an Eternals movie. Whatever that means to people. They're excited about Angelina Jolie.
It's a strange pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Because are you going to be able to sign Angelina Jolie to a multi-movie deal?
How many movies do you think?
I mean, I got to assume the Eternals are going to be sticking around for a while. Like, that's a big storyline. Unless she dies in the first movie or something, or even the second. But yeah, it's a strange one. I don't know about that, but... has Marvel really steered us extremely wrong?
Are the Eternal, is this like supposed to be a major focus?
Yes.
Like, do we know she's going to be, I mean, she's supposed to be a lead, but like, it could be, I'm just saying it could be like the whole, I remember, Anthony Hopkins as Odin. Like, I would say, I mean, it was pretty big news. Like, Anthony Hopkins is going to be in a Marvel movie, and then they filmed like all the scenes in one day and sprinkled them throughout the universe. I don't know.
Yeah, you make a good point. But it seems like from all the stuff I was reading that they really want to center the movie around her.
Oh, okay. Well, that's completely.
So it's strange.
I'm such an idiot. You know what movie she's been in?
What?
Maleficent.
Yes.
So she was the lead. Didn't they do like two movies? Yeah. Okay. Then this is fine.
She has a relationship with Disney. That is true.
Yeah. Disney's like, hey, you're done. Like, we don't want to make a third Maleficent movie because there shouldn't have been two to begin with. So why don't we just extend your contract over here? We promise you like 10 more movies, and we actually have stories revolving around this.
Maybe. I mean, she has like a bunch of kids from Africa to take care of now. So
yeah,
or well, wherever, I'm sure wherever hire, she adopts them from.
I'm sure know. You could. I'm sure you could hire people to do that for you.
Well, you need the money, so
yeah,
get that Marvel money.
Get that Marvel. It's not just money anymore. It's Marvel money because there's a significant difference. Yeah, well, I guess she's doing Disney movies. She's kind of has Disney done that before? Like, can you think of a time where they pulled like a character or a voice from one movie and brought them into the Marvel universe? I can't think of anything.
No.
We'll have to think about that one. Also, the pretty craziness that hit Twitter this week. I don't know. I'm pretty sure. I don't even know if it's real still. It was definitely not supposed to be shown. If it, not because it reveals spoilers, but because it's pretty god awful. The Star Wars Episode 9 leaked poster. I only say awful because it like focuses on the weirdest characters. Yeah, so there's a poster leaked on Twitter, got immediately taken down. But Chris and I are going to review it right now on what we think is going on.
Yeah, it's so a part of me thinks it's real because Disney is really putting the kibosh on it. Like, they've told certain websites even not to put it up.
Really?
So yeah, I'm like really interested in what's going on with that. But then there's parts of it that make me think it's fake.
Yeah. So first reason I think it's fake, C-3PO holding a bowcaster.
Yeah, that was my first as well.
Everything else looks pretty legit, though. I mean, yeah, the poster is sent around. It's centered around. Well, it has the Knights of Ren in it, which that got me really excited. Like, can we finally see these guys? And this is probably the best picture we've seen of them. And I have never seen this picture before. And those definitely aren't guys cosplaying, is why I think the poster's real.
Yeah, so I've been wanting the Knights of Ren for a while, and we've gotten we've gotten them in bits and pieces, but I really want to know what's going on with these guys and who they are, and I want
you know, like, it's funny, and like we see some other, like there's a really derpy looking alien, ugly as hell, like next to Finn, and it's like, oh my god, disgusting looking. It could be the new Jabba, though. I mean, I'm sure Jabba was on a poster at one point. And then there's some cool looking bounty hunter next to Poe Dameron, and then a lady above the bounty hunter person that I've never seen before.
So I think, yeah, so we got the bounty hunter-esque, so that's the Captain Phasma stand-in, or a Boba Fett stand-in. And then that girl, like, assuming that's a character here, we know that Lando is coming back.
Oh.
Could Lando maybe have a daughter?
Lando's daughter, maybe. Okay. And something interesting, though, about the poster. I mean, we're talking about a poster here, but there could be a lot of symbolism. There is the stormtroopers on the bottom are like highlighted by Kylo Ren's lightsaber. They're all red. And then there's stormtroopers that are white. So it's going on a limb here, but you think the Empire could be split between like who wants to follow Kylo Ren and who wants to actually just be a regular army? I don't know.
It could be. I mean, we could get Kylo like kind of recruiting the Knights of Ren and then creating his own version of the First Order.
Oh, man. That is such an awesome plot line. That's definitely happening.
Yeah.
I feel like J.J. Abrams right now.
But so, like, I think about 80% of this poster I believe to be real, and
right.
I wouldn't be surprised if we get this or at least something extremely close to this for the poster when Star Wars Celebration hits here soon. But the two things you pointed out really stand out to me, and I can't believe that they're actually a thing, let alone a thing that's on the poster, and that's C-3PO with the bowcaster.
Yeah.
And the derpiest looking alien I've ever seen.
Yeah, those were the things where it's like, well, not only that, I mean, it could be a real poster, but they were like, no, this is just a revision. It should not have been released because, like, it definitely isn't, like, aesthetically pleasing to look at. I mean, it's not very symmetrical. And it must have been like a rough draft, I think.
Yeah, but it's definitely in the style of what I expect a Star Wars poster to look like, so.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's funny because, like, you know, J.J. Abrams set up the he sets up the Force Awakens. He teases you with the Knights of Ren. And then maybe he's like, oh, yeah, you know, Rian Johnson is going to use him in the next movie. Doesn't use him at all. And he's like, okay, well, I guess I got to use him now because, like, I gave this guy all these tools to work with, and he basically killed everyone off. So, got to clean up shop now. Anyways,
I'm just really glad that we're heading into the Star Wars hype.
So it begins with a leaked poster, and who knows, man, Disney might have done it on all, like, this might just be, like, market testing. Yep. Or market research, free market research, leak something on the internet, pretend that you didn't leak it.
I mean, we're getting closer and closer to May the 4th,
yeah,
which is a thing when the modern sense of how Star Wars is. And then I think Star Wars Celebration is right around the corner from that. So
right.
I expect we'll at least get the poster at Star Wars Celebration. If not, we'll get a little bit more.
Or maybe, like, can he announce an Obi-Wan movie finally? Holy shit.
Yeah, I almost wonder if... Because are we doing D23 this year? I don't know if that's this year or next year, but I imagine that if we do have D23, this is all going to happen at D23. But I can imagine in one of those two events, we're going to get kind of the new plan, like what we're doing with Star Wars moving forward. Because this is supposed to be the last Star Wars saga movie.
Right.
But there's no way in hell it's the last Star Wars movie.
Yeah, they haven't announced any of, like, you know, like the Solo, any of those standalone movies. They haven't released, like, the next phase yet, or, like, at least announced the titles, right?
No, and, I mean, remember, the Han Solo movie, those actors are all signed on for a trilogy.
Oh.
And they set up a sequel. Like, there's 100% there was plans to do more with that movie. And even though it didn't do so hot in the box office, I wouldn't be surprised to see them jump back into that and do a sequel.
Maybe. Huh. Anyways, we try to make some news out of something. Hopefully we know more soon because I'm itching for a trailer. Speaking of Star Wars really quick, though, Mark Hamill released some weird news. And I think it's official. I don't think it's an April Fool's thing because it's not April yet. That for the Chucky movie, you know, the rebooting Child's Play. I don't even know if you heard this.
I have.
He's voicing Chucky. So what do you think about that?
So have you heard the whole synopsis of this, like how the new Chucky is supposed to be?
No, because his voice is definitely not going to sound like the original Chucky, right?
So for those that don't know, Child's Play, the original, the Chucky doll is possessed by a serial killer.
Right.
Now, with this reboot, what they're doing is they're basically doing Chucky as a Terminator. So Chucky is kind of a robotic doll, and the AI goes nuts and starts killing people.
That sounds awesome. I honestly, if they turn it into like a Terminator movie where they have to go back in time or something... I'm actually going to watch this movie. I'm intrigued.
But then what's funny is at the same time, they're doing a Child's Play TV show.
Yeah.
Which is going to be based on the original Child's Play movies.
I don't know, man. It's weird how these things happen. Anyways, we'll get to comic book news. Teeny Howard signs an exclusive deal with Marvel. Fairly new writer at Marvel, right?
Yeah, she's done a few things.
But they must be liking her because they exclusive. No creator-owned content coming out of you.
Well, you can still do creator-owned content. Basically, an exclusive deal just states that you can't work for DC.
Okay.
If it's for DC, you can't work for Marvel. But you can still do your own creator because Donny Cates still puts out creator-owned stuff, and he's
exclusively right. Yeah. Signed. Yeah, that's true.
It's a big deal. I mean, she's got some cool stuff coming out. I'm excited to see what her Thanos looks like here next month, but it's not as big of a pop as Donny Cates was. Of course, very few people are, but good for her.
Detective Comics changes logo for issue 1001. It's a more Batman-centric logo. I don't really don't know if that.
It was like big news at I think WonderCon last weekend.
Yeah,
it's the Bat logo and it says Batman's Detective Comics.
Yeah,
so they're finally accepting the fact this is a Batman book, even though it's been since issue 27.
Yeah. Right. It's finally got the proper name. So the biggest news this week, Chris and I have been talking about it. Like, when are they going to actually release more comics for DC Universe Online? Well, kids, DC is coming out with a huge content boost for the DC Universe. They talked about adding every comic that isn't a year old. So up until a year ago, you're getting all those comics, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's huge because how much is DC Universe again? Is it $5.99 a month?
I think I paid less because I bought it for the whole year. I paid like 70-something for the whole year.
Okay, I'm pretty sure it's cheaper than Marvel Unlimited. Marvel Unlimited is $10 a month.
Yeah.
And Marvel Unlimited is basically this. It's everything that Marvel's ever made that's older than 6 months. Now, there are holes in the catalog, as I'm sure DC will have holes in the catalog as well. But the fact that DC Universe now has exclusive TV shows, has all like a bunch of movies and old TV shows on there, and then this on top of it, it is now the best deal in a streaming app platform. All they need to do now is get it on more devices.
Right.
This is huge. I'm so happy about this.
It's awesome. And now we got Swamp Thing coming in May right after Doom Patrol ends, so pumping out content. IDW is rumored to be for sale.
Interesting.
IDW does a lot of the like G.I. Joe, right? G.I. Joe Transformers.
Yeah, IDW does a lot of like the Sonic the Hedgehog. It does G.I. Joe Transformers, Ghostbusters, X-Files, like a bunch of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But there's multiple branches. Like, that's IDW Publishing that does comics. They also have IDW Games and IDW this and that. And basically what happened was is somebody came in and was checking the company out to see what it's worth. I think it was J.P. Morgan or some. I'm not a financial guy. But the thing here is like, who would buy IDW? And now I assume it would be an outside company. I don't think like Disney's going to come in and buy them, or even Warner. So it's just interesting because I enjoy IDW for some of the stuff they do. And they make some cool board games too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, keep your eye out on that one. It'll be interesting to see what happens, who jumps into the field.
I don't think it'll be one of the big comic people buying them. All right, now we get to talk about the comics we read this week, which I'm super excited for. Let's talk about Freedom Fighters number 4.
Let's do it.
Which I thought to be the best book this man. It was a great DC week, let me tell you. There's a lot of Marvel books, but I don't think I read any. I don't read any of the Marvel books that came out. Dude, so Chris got what he wanted. He got the it's Hitler's grandson, right? Yeah. The crazy guy torturing everyone, Adolf's grandson. You have that conversation between him and the new generation of Adolf. Of how like they keep referencing like you haven't used their special weapon. What the hell's his name?
Oh, something, man.
Yeah, but they keep referencing you haven't even used the plastic.
Overman,
yeah. So that you got that going on, and you can tell he's just a crazy mofo that's you don't want to deal with him. But something that's really cool, man, there's so much cool stuff going on in this issue. We'll talk about the Uncle Sam thing in a second, but the fact that the human bomb, so they're placing bombs inside of like the Nazi version of Mount Rushmore, right? And the way they're doing that is Doll Woman is so small that the human bomb is slicing off just a sliver of skin off his fingertip. And then she's taking those and using them as bomb material to plant like mini bombs everywhere, like little nukes. Dude, the writing in this is just so, it's so much comic book science, but it's so phenomenal, dude. I was like, this is so cool. And you get that whole conversation between Human Bomb and Doll Woman of like, about he doesn't want anybody coming to see him, and he wants to be, the Human Bomb wants to be alone, and talking about their backstories. And then we get the Uncle Sam stuff, which is fucking epic. I mean, at least I thought.
Yeah.
So, like, you see him being revived, right? Like, for it first, it starts with, oh, there's a bald eagle that appeared. You usually don't see bald eagles. And it's like all this hope. Someone starts wearing red, white, and blue on the streets. And it's like you could feel like Uncle Sam is, he's like, it's like, it, it's like Uncle Sam is like the spirit bomb, right? The earth is like giving him the energy, and he's like building up, and he like throughout the whole issue, he just like, yeah, he lands. He like, he shows up in the graveyard. He says, thunder's rolling in. Like his dialogue is so awesome. And he goes, one Rotzi down, the rest of them to go. Like, this man is the, he is the American dream. Like, it's awesome.
So, yeah, with that, like, he's resurrected and comes out of the kind of wormhole punching a Nazi, like, as he's coming out, which is perfect.
Yeah.
But I love kind of some of the back propaganda stuff in this book, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
In the beginning, you said they bald eagle appears. The Nazis went out and tried to make the bald eagle extinct because it was a symbol of hope and freedom.
Right.
And, like, the fact that when the Mount Rushmore blew up, they were talking about how only 6 seconds of it got out to the public, but that was still enough to inspire people. Like, things like that,
right,
of what the Nazis have been doing all these years to try to push down the American dream and push down the hope and freedom that America symbolizes. And, the Venditti is just four issues in, annihilating this book. It's so good.
Yeah, it's going to be up for awards, I have a feeling.
Yes.
Sharky the Bounty Hunter, issue 2. It's good. It's the Mark Millar book. And like in the first issue, you know, the bounty hunter has a little tussle with this kid's father. Father dies, so he kind of like takes this little kid under his wing and says, "Hey, I'll drop you off on your planet on my way to this large bounty." So he goes to do the large bounty. Runs into some other bounty hunters that aren't as good as him, and they want to like share the loot, and he's not feeling that, so he takes him out. But during this issue, we find out he has a certain power. So he lands on a planet to find the woman he's tracking, and he almost goes into like, I don't know, Spidey sense mode, and he just kind of like senses for her. And can like seek, it looks like he can like seek people out if he can concentrate, like meditate. He's almost like he has like a tracking ability. So that's pretty cool. But the end of the issue, he kind of gets distracted by the kid, and the bounty hunter he's trying to kill finds him first. Dun dun dun. That was a good issue. You get a little more background of Sharky, in that he's not a total piece of shit, that he actually kind of cares about this kid. Shazam number 4, dude. Did you read Shazam?
I did.
Dude, DC killing it. This is how you write a Shazam book, all right? I didn't know where to begin. We get, like, I opened this book and I was like, Chris is going to love this issue. Because you want to know why? We have humanoid animals.
Yes.
That we get to see all the different kingdoms. So this plot is based around that the magic lands are separated into, like, what, 7 kingdoms? 5 kingdoms? And in the previous issue, Billy and his very conveniently single nationality friends. did you notice that?
Yes.
It's almost like the Power Rangers. we won't talk about that, though. But they all get split up and captured. And we find out that in, what is it, the Childlands or the... where the kids are, the Funlands. Yep. They're keeping the older adults to, like, they're like underneath the Funlands running the show. Like, they're basically slaves, and that's what powers all the kids to have fun. They let the kids stay till they're 18, and then they put them into like slavery, which is really messed up. Like, it took a really dark turn, right? And then we get to the, what is it? The Wildlands with the animals. And the animals don't trust humans, and most of them have never seen humans. So they, some of the friends get captured, and they're like, we're going to feed you to the tigers. And they're like, tigers? Oh boy. And then the coolest one we got to see, I think you probably liked it too, the Gamelands.
Yes.
Which was like, it was Tron almost, right? Or what was that Steven Spielberg movie that just came out? Ready Player One.
Yes.
Which is like exactly, that world revolves around Ready Player One, where like everybody has a score above them. And the kids that are trapped there basically find out you have to win the race against the, there's a person there with like 15 million points. You have to beat them, and then you'll be able to leave. You'll leave the game lands. So it's almost like Ready Player One. You have to beat the impossible race. Awesome. And then by the end of it, there's someone else that harnesses the power of Shazam, and he notices that, all the magic lands have been opened except for one. There's a monster land that still remains closed, and it looks like he has to go in and save them before it opens up. And just who might that be? We've been asking where he is, and he does show up. Black Adam is like, all right, Billy, I got to clean up your mess because you're a dumb idiot. And what an issue, man.
Yeah, I love the symbolism here in all the different magic lands, because all of them seem like paradises or utopias. And
right.
They all have an underbelly or something wrong about them, whether it's a prejudice or
yep.
the slave labor or a monarchy and so on and so forth. So it was really cool symbolism that Geoff Johns threw out there with all that. But how he built all the lands, this is such a good issue. Shazam, like, I give this book tons of credit, because I've been shitting on Johns for a while because Doomsday Clock wasn't great for a long time. But this is a book that I came into not really wanting to like, and I absolutely love it. So hats off to you for that one. Great.
Okay, now I just want to, my last book of the week, I want to talk about my favorite book this week. You're going to go, what? Those weren't his favorite? But he talked with so much passion, so much vigor. this book, so I was reading Dial H back in the New 52 days. I was one of the like two people that was reading it. Yeah. And it got canceled, and that Dial H is nothing like this Dial H. And I don't know the whole past of Dial H, of like what renditions. Dial H was not a very popular character back in the day. But this is part of the Wonder Comics it's under. So this is a kid that gets the mantle, which is awesome. I mean, it's like a Ben 10 situation, right? Where this kid, it's almost like another Shazam situation, but it's a little different though. This is a little morbid. So it starts off like this kid gets to a near death situation, and Superman saves him. And you think that would be something great, but he talks about when he's growing up that he never can ever have the same thrill again. So he takes up like BMX biking, like doing all this crazy stuff to like get that thrill of like a near death experience. He kind of gets put in a situation where he does a crazy stunt and he needs help, and he gets a hold of this magical telephone, and it's something interesting happens that connects this to like all the DC heroes. When he grabs the telephone, everyone gets like, not everyone, but they show certain key DC characters getting like a little inscription on their forehead of like, oh no, the phone has been activated again. And the people that it happens to are like Robin. You have Harley Quinn, Gorilla Grodd, Alfred, and yeah, it's Lobo. It's just really strange. They're like, uh-oh. And Alfred like calls up Batman like, yeah, it's happening again. So this has happened before. And dude, so there's a sequence where he picks a hero to transform into, and he turns into Monster Truck, who's a super jacked guy, like wearing a Monster Truck outfit. But the best part about this book is it goes straight back into like late 80s comic book style. Like the art completely changes because they don't know. He doesn't just like turn into Monster Truck. Like it switches the comic book completely. And like, it gives you like the, or like it tells you who Monster Truck is. And like, you get this whole scene of Monster Truck demolishing all these trucks. And then we flash back to the real world and the kid is laying there and he's like, man, that was awesome. And then he looks around and he trashes like a car dealership. And where in his mind, he was like fighting Monster Trucks as Monster Truck. But like, they don't show what happened in the real world yet. So it, dude, I don't, it is so good. Like just from the page of like, you flip the page and you're in like 1980s comics. It's like the art style changes, the dialogue changes. It's so good.
So it sounds like we're in a Hulk situation where he kind of blacks out and the other half takes over.
Right. Yeah. But the cool part was like, I mean, I've never heard of this hero before. And this is what I wanted Dial H to be when I read it originally. Like this is, I mean, it's depressing, but like he almost finds hope within these heroes. And this is the way the hero should be done. Like this, the guy shouts truck. Yeah. Like, come on. You can't make this stuff up.
Actually, you can.
Yeah. I know you can. But that's why it's my favorite book this week. And I cannot wait for the next issue.
Sam Humphries, longtime Marvel writer.
Really?
Yes.
Well, glad we got him.
Did, before I jump into mine, did you read Heroes in Crisis?
No. Okay. That was this week? Oh, my God.
We're going to do spoiler talk on Heroes in Crisis next week, everybody.
Sounds good.
So I'll go through mine. Action Comics 1009. So we got Superman.
Superman.
Yeah, it's about Superman. Amanda Waller in the last issue finds Clark and refers to Clark as Superman. So that was kind of a big thing. Like, how does she know that Clark is Superman, even though it's the most obvious fucking thing ever? But we find this out, and it's a big thing, and Lois is really pissed. So she's trying to figure out, how do you know what's going on? And we get this kind of monologue from Amanda Waller about, you know, I'm the head of Argus. Like, I work for the government. You don't think I know what the identity of the most powerful weapon on the planet? It was a really great moment that she was just like, how stupid do you think we are?
Nice.
Throughout that, they get kind of the back and forth that Lois's father was with Amanda when she got attacked by Leviathan. And so they're going off looking for, Superman goes off looking for Lois's father, and she finds him in the hospital. And the question is in there with him. And he's on the case. Cool moment here. Superman's talking with him and saying, like, you know, look after him, make sure he's safe. I'm going to send you backup. And he says, he basically says, I'm going to send you the Wonder Twins.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we get kind of a hint towards that. And then, sorry, I read this almost a week ago now, and I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah. So now Lois and Clark need to find new secret identities to go undercover because they feel like they've been compromised. Since Amanda knows their secret identity, who else does? So we get a, I don't know this part of Superman's history, so forgive me, but we get them going undercover as Andy and Chaz, which apparently was a thing with a synthetic kryptonite.
Oh.
That if you give Superman this kryptonite, he becomes an 80s porn star with curly hair and a beard.
What?
Yeah.
That's so strange.
It is strange, but it was a pretty good issue. The Leviathan thing's been interesting because we don't really know who Leviathan is yet. I mean, we know that Leviathan is run by Talia al Ghul. At least that's who it was back in the day. But everybody's kind of wondering, like, why is Talia going after Superman?
Yeah.
And what's going on here? So there's a mystery there, and is Talia really involved? So after that, I got Avengers No Road Home number 7. the basic with this is they're slowly working to getting Conan into the Marvel Universe here. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what you need to know here. It's a weekly series, and it's a weekly series that's kind of dragging along. But I'm interested in the last issues before it were really good. This one, not so much. Invaders number 3. I absolutely love the Invaders. This book in particular is really great. Basically, we're trying to figure out what's going on with Namor and why he has a connection to Charles Xavier. And with that, there's this family that's visited by Namor regularly. He was a war hero from World War II, so knows Namor through that and knows Cap through that. And he has a secret that Cap needs to know in order to save the world, because Namor is building this bomb to try to kill the surface world. There's really cool moments throughout here, like Cap basically walking into a naval base and trying to command them and be like, listen, you can't do this. Uh-huh. You can't go attack Atlantis. You're going to start something. And the naval officer being like, I'm sorry, like, you don't have any power here. Like, yeah. You killed our people. We're going to go after them. This book, it's really tough to talk about without spoiling too much, but I highly recommend it, even if you're not a big Invaders fan. It's just a really cool team-up book. And then Detective Comics 1000. Detective Comics 1000 is a super thick book.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And I got the beautiful Frank Miller cover for it.
Oh, wow.
There we go. It's an anthology book, essentially. Like, there's multiple stories. It's just like Action 1000. There's a ton of stories in here by a ton of different people. The ones that really stick out are... The big one is actually the Kevin Smith one. Was really good. Kevin Smith and Jim Lee did a story, and it was all about the old story that Batman put the symbol on his chest so that people would aim for that, and that's basically bulletproofed.
Right.
I don't know if you remember that old story. So this is the story of him going and getting the gun that killed his parents. Mm-hmm. He found a dealer that was selling it, so he went and got it, melted it down, and made it into the symbol, and that's what's underneath the symbol is the gun that killed his parents.
Damn. Kevin Smith coming in with the feels.
Yeah, it was really good.
You think his would be about, like, dick jokes or something?
Yeah, people forget that the man can write.
Yeah, right.
Trying to remember some of the other ones, because there was one with who's the writer behind it? Denny O'Neill and Steve Epting, that was really good. Warren Ellis had one that was really good. The Kevin Smith one really is the one that sticks out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, which was Peter Tomasi wrote, and that's going to be the lead into Detective Comics 1001, which is introducing the Arkham Knight, which, if anyone played the game Arkham Knight, it looks just like that character.
Yeah. Sweet.
So Detective was really good. There's some good stories, not so great stories. There's a Tom King story in there.
How was that? Useless, like the other Batman ones.
It was okay. If you like Tom King stuff, I mean, you know what to expect.
Don't currently like Tom King, but only on one book. It's just a slump. We'll get out of it.
The savior is failing you.
Yeah. Anyways.
Well, speaking of things that won't fail you, Mike, where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, well, not unless the website's down. You can go to Twitter, follow Fortress Ricker. Where can they find you, Chris?
Why, they can find me at Fortress Chris, or they can find the show at FCN_official. I'm off my game today.
Yep.
And of course, FortressComicNews.com, where everything we do is right there on that handy dandy website. So go there. If you're watching the show, you know the deal with YouTube. Thumbs up down below. Subscribe to the channel. Comment. And then if you were listening to our not so great voices this week, on this glorious day of fools, give us a 5-star review. Don't be a fool. Give us a 5-star review.
It rhymes.
It does. I'm a poet.
Wow. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Good stuff. Good show.